नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि श्री गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। So many people today, probably waiting for the seminar to get over. Welcome to this last concluding session of this four-day seminar. Oh, I just got pulled up a day, and then we're finishing off today. So thank you so much for joining in for this concluding session. A quick recap for those who couldn't make it to the previous classes. On day one, we established how Sri Balaramji is the embodiment of pure devotional service. On the basis of the Shastras, we saw how in different avatars, in different yugas, he manifests himself with the same principle of service. We saw how as Balaramji in Vrindavan, as Lakshmana with Ramachandra, and as Karunyamai Nitai, the most magnanimous, Adbhuta Karunya, Adbhuta Madhurya, Adbhuta Audharya Lila. Wonderfully magnanimous and wonderfully sweet, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. He manifests with Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu to deliver the fallen Kali Yuga rejects. In the second day, or the second class, we discussed the birth appearance of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, or Nityananda Balaram, and the childhood pastimes in Sri Vrindavan Dham. How they are so sweet, and what were the activities that Krishna and Balaram performed to pull the strings of Vatsalya, the residence of Sri Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram enjoyed all the rasas. When they were small babies, they enjoyed Vatsalya ras, or the relationship of parenthood, to the supreme level that they could. Then when they started growing up, they enjoyed with their friends. Shridam, Sudam, Vasudam, Kinkini, Stoka Krishna, Arjun, Madhumangal, Mandali Padra, all Krishna's friends. And then, after all, when, you know, they were of the proper age, they were 7, 8 years old, they were interacting with the gopis and tasting Ujjwala Shringar Ras or Madhurya Ras. Then yesterday's class, we discussed how, when the time came, Krishna and Balaram had to leave Vrindavan externally, although they're always in Vrindavan. And they went to Mathura, performed some activities there, like killing of Chanur and Mushtik, smashing Kamsa to death, releasing Vasudeva and Devaki, learning at Sandipani Muni's ashram, reviving his dead son, and so on and so forth. And as we always are short of time, I had to stop at the point where Jarasandha was attacking Mathura. Yes? So today we'll continue from there. But before that, a couple of quick points about Lord Balaramji. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the Adilila of the Chaitanya Charitamrit, he actually gives the philosophical understanding of Nityananda Prabhu or Balaram. He says, Sankarshana karanato yashai garbho dashai cha payobdhishai sheshascha yasyamscha kalasa nityanandakhya rama sharanam mamastu. On the basis of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he beautifully establishes the fact that Sri Balaramji, he is the original fountainhead of all incarnations. He says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality, of course. Ete cham sakala pumsam krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam ridayanti yuge yuge. Krishna is the Supreme. But the first expansion that comes out of Krishna is Balaram. Now from Balaram, we have many expansions. Two times we have the quadruple expansions of Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddha and Pradyumna. We also have a Narayan Tattva in the middle. The second Shankarshan who appears, he is called as Mool Sankarshan or Adi Sankarshan. From him you have Mahavishnu Tattva, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Kshirodakshay Vishnu and so forth. And it gets really complex in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the fundamental point is that the origin of all of these expansions, the plenary portions and the portions of the plenary portions, the origin is Sri Krishna, but the first expansion is Balaram. So Sri Balaram is never to be seen as one of the Kala, the expansion of the expansion. Amsha means expansion and Kala means expansion of the expansion. So, although he's so exalted and he holds this opulent position of being the Supreme Personality, but he's still so sweet. He's so sweet as the Dham that sometimes the Dham expands and sometimes the Dham contracts. Interesting fact. Sri Vrindavan Dham is in the shape of a lotus. And sometimes this lotus contracts and sometimes it expands. Just like the lotuses in this world, they open up and they close. Similarly, Sri Vrindavan also opens up and closes. Srila Sanatan Goswami, the elder brother of Srila Rupa Goswami, whose disappearance day we were celebrating yesterday, this Sri Sanatan Goswami was so austere that he lived in Sri Vrindavan Dham, went to Gokul Mahavan for Madhukari, or begging for alms every day, and then went to Govardhan for his daily parikrama. So he walked over 100 kilometers every single day. Not easy. He was doing that even when he was 90 years old. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. But he was still doing it because he was a pure devotee. And Balaram being Dham Swarup or Dham Tattva, he couldn't see this. So whenever Sanatan Goswami started walking, Sri Nityananda Prabhu or Balaram as Dham Tattva started contracting. So whenever he contracted, it was very easy for Sanatan Goswami to cover all these places. And sometimes Sanatan Goswami used to ponder, how is it possible that I'm finishing it so fast? Maybe I would have missed some place. And in the evening, again he started. So sometimes he did two parikramas like that. Covering Vrindavan, Nandagram, Govardhan, not easy. People get tired just doing that by car these days. And Sanatan Goswami used to do that at the age of 90. And then we know the story of how Gopal appeared to him and gave the small Govardhan Shila, which is a complete different description. So the point is, Balaram, although he's the Supreme Personality, he's so merciful. He just sees his eternal servant, Sanatan Goswami, taking this hardship of walking, and he contracts. And sometimes he expands also. When the demons come to attack Krishna and find Krishna, the Dham expands so that the demon never reach Krishna. So Balaram is very thoughtful and very sweet. Behind that cover of being the Supreme Personality is a very, 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 very sweet heart, which melts just to give mercy to the devotees. So now we find Krishna and Balaram are in Mathura and Jarasandha attacks Mathura 17 times. And then he's defeated 17 times. And the 18th time, Krishna runs away from the battlefield. Ranchod. In the middle of all of this, Shukadev Goswami gives the description of Kalyavan or Kalyayavan. And he also gives description of Muchukunda. And there are other forces who attack Mathura. So now Mathura is a very difficult place to stay in. So Krishna and Balaram, what they do is they take all their family members and they shift to Dwaraka. So that's how we enter Dwaraka today. At the age of 28, Krishna leaves Mathura and goes to Dwaraka. Now when he goes to Dwaraka also, Jarasandha doesn't stop him or doesn't stop hunting for him. He hunts for Krishna and Balaram even there, and Krishna and Balaram continue running. They run to this tall and big humongous hill called as the Pravarshana. And Krishna and Balaram start hiding there in the caves of this hill and this mountain. And Jarasandha starts searching with his army and he never finds Krishna and Balaram because they're inconceivable. Who can find Krishna and Balaram? So then Jarasandha, just to make sure that Krishna and Balaram are dead or they are no more in his vocabulary, he sets the hill on fire. How wicked, isn't it? We don't find Krishna, so our vipralamba should increase that I want to find Krishna. And he is making sure that he doesn't find Krishna. This is wicked mentality, atheistic mentality. Krishna will come in front of them, but they still deny. For example, Hiranyakashipu. Narasimhadev appeared before him, and he was still thinking this is a mere mortal. But Prahlad, he could see Narasimhadev even within a pillar. Who worships a pillar? So when you have this love-filled eyes, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, you can see Krishna even in the place where he doesn't exist. But if you're an atheist, you will be standing face to face in front of Krishna and still not see him. So Jarasandha, along with his army, sets this mountain or this hill on fire. And Krishna and Balaram jump from the top of this mountain, 88 miles, holding hands. That is exactly the front cover of this volume of the Bhagavatam. Isn't that really wonderful? Look at Krishna and Balaram. They also signify a very beautiful point. Krishna and Balaram work against gravity. What do you mean by that? Gravity works in such a way that anything that goes up, it pulls it down. But Krishna and Balaram are so merciful, anything that falls down, they pull it up. So even if you're the most fallen, if you simply surrender to Krishna Balaram, they will pull us up. So Krishna and Balaram are jumping all the way down. Then they land safe. Then they are in a marriageable age. Krishna gets married to Rukmini. And Balaram gets married to Revati. Revati Kanta. We know the very famous story of how Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. Shukadeva Goswami describes that Krishna is like a lion coming in the pack of hyenas and taking his share. The hyenas are just watching. Krishna comes and, this piece of meat belongs to me. Come on, just get away. This belongs to me. Krishna just kidnaps Rukmini. And then, so he gets married to Rukmini. And this infuriates Jarasandha and Shishupal even more, because Shishupal was supposed to be married to Rukmini. Rukmini's brother Rukmi, very demoniac. So to take revenge, he challenges Balramji in a chess match. He believes that Balram is just strong physically, but is foolish here. So he says, let's not fight with him, because if you fight with him physically, Balram will beat you down. Let's do something. Let's humiliate Balram in a chess match. Let's humiliate Balram by saying that you're just physically strong, but mentally you're a fool. So they call Balram. And Balram goes to play with Rukmi and the king of Kalinga. What happens? First game, they challenge with 1,000 gold coins. Balram loses. Second game, they challenge with 10,000 gold coins. Balram loses. Third game, they challenge with 100,000 gold coins. Balram wins. Yes? The smaller amounts, you take it. You know, when it's actually the actual amount, that's the time when I'm going to really play. So Balram wins the 100,000 game. But Rukmi, because he is demoniac, he doesn't accept. So Balram says, if you don't accept, rematch. I can't take this. Rematch. So there's another match of $100,000. I'm sorry, 100,000 gold coins. 100,000 gold coins. And then again Balram wins. So Rukmi says, no, this is not correct. You know, this is not correct. Because he tried to cheat Balram. Balram said, no, I have won this match. You're doing this for the second time. And when all this was happening, there was a sound from the sky saying that Balram is actually the winner. Rukmi, don't cheat. Balram said, look, did you hear that? I won the game. Rukmi still didn't accept. Balram got angry. He just invoked Sunanda, his club, and smashed Rukmi's head to pieces. Why? Just because he didn't accept that Balram won the game. So when we try to cheat the Supreme Lord, that's how he gives his mercy. Sometimes Krishna gives us by smashing us. Sometimes Krishna gives mercy by taking it away. Yasyaham anugrinnami hari setad dhanam shanai. Krishna says in 10th canto, 88th chapter, that when I have to show my special mercy, I take whatever you have. Look at the Pandavas. They lost everything. Kunti lost everything. And what does she tell Krishna? Does she say that, I was such a nice devotee, you took everything away. You took my, you know, you almost humiliated my daughter-in-law. You took my 5 sons away. My 5 grandsons were killed by Ashwatthama. I lost everything. She didn't say anything like that. She said, tatra tatra jagatguru. Vipada santu tatcha ashwat tatra tatra jagatguru. Oh Krishna, you're saying that you're leaving and I'm going to be happy. I think when you were there and there was a shower of calamity, that's when I was happy. Because whenever there was calamity, I could remember you, my Lord. This is how a devotee thinks. Tattenu kampam su samikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Ritvak vabupir bidadan namaste jiveti yo mukti pade sadayabak. Whenever there's calamity, if we can simply hold this principle in our heart, that Krishna tests only those for whom he loves or he cares. So if we can think that Krishna actually cares for us, he loves us, and we can offer dandavat pranam to Krishna. How? Rit, vak, vapu. Through mind, body and words. I sometimes say that's the BMW formula. Through body, mind and words. If you surrender to Krishna. People are running behind BMWs. I say, hold a BMW in your life. Surrender to Krishna through body, mind and words. So if we do that, then we become eligible for liberation. So here Krishna, Balaram smashes Rukmi's head with his mace. And the king of Kalinga, when all of this was happening, he was laughing. So Balaram says, something really funny? You know, you feel this is all very funny? Let me do something. He ties his hands and legs, and with his club, he smashes his teeth. Now smile. Now laugh. I want to see how you laugh now. How sweet you look when you laugh. And then there are other kings who are also taking part. When all this was happening, they started running away. Balaram caught each one of them, started breaking their hands and legs. He can be destructive. He's Balaram. He uses his strength. So imagine if we take shelter of such a personality. Is it very difficult to overcome lust, greed and anger? We simply have to surrender to Balaram. So before us, Avirbhav, we have to simply set this in our mind, in our consciousness. Oh Balaram, we are all waiting for you. You're appearing this Saturday. Please give us the strength so that we can surrender to you. So when all this was happening, it was very disturbing for Balaram. So then Balaram felt, I was much more happier when I was in Vrindavan. And I really miss the Brajavasis. Krishna, you be in Dwaraka, I'm going to Vrindavan. So Balaram returns back to Vrindavan. He goes back to Vrindavan, he meets Nanda and Yashoda. It's all nostalgic memories. Starts thinking about the Yamuna, starts thinking about Giriraj, Govardhan. And then he meets his gopis. Balaram was interacting with the greatest devotees of the Lord. The gopis are described, Ramya kajid upasana vrajavadum varghena yakalpita. Of all the devotees of the Lord, in the material and in the spiritual worlds, the gopis are the topmost. Topmost. There's nobody equal to the gopis. In fact, in one of the scriptures, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the love of one gopi, you know, just a drop of the love of one gopi can completely submerge the material and the spiritual worlds in ecstasy. We have a tough time finding happiness in our life. One gopi, love, drop, one drop of the love of one gopi can submerge material and spiritual worlds. So how powerful their love is. Selfless, completely. So they were very happy to welcome Balaram. Sanatan Goswami describes, go means the senses. And P means pibati, drinking. Those devotees who drink constantly the nectar of Krishna's names, forms, qualities and pastimes through all their senses are gopis. We sometimes might think that gopis are, you find male and female in this world, you find male and female, Krishna and gopis. No. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says when Krishna was dancing with the gopis, it was like a child playing with his own mirror image. How innocent and how lovely that is. Krishna used to look at the mirror and be mesmerizing himself. So what to speak of his own reflections around in the form of devotees? They are the gopis. So Balaram had his own set of gopis. Krishna had his own set of gopis. So Balaram started interacting with his gopis and he became so ecstatic. When he used to lie down and sleep at night, he used to miss Krishna and Dwaraka. So in the sleep, he used to say, Krishna smashed the head of Kaliya. He's too proud. And he used to sometimes yawn really loud and hard that there used to be ripples on his tummy. That's really deep. Balaram was so much. Even when he was in Vrindavan, he was missing Krishna in Dwaraka. When he was in Dwaraka, he was missing Brajavasi. So this mood of separation is the key point. So Balaram was in Vrindavan, and one night when he was dancing with the gopis, he was tasting honey or Varuni. And he was so intoxicated drinking this honey. This was one of the favorite drinks of Balaram. So if somebody wants to please Balaram on the day of Balaram's Avirbhav, can get pure honey and offer it to Balaramji. He loves Varuni or intoxicated honey. So when he was in this intoxication, he wanted to play with Yamuna, river Yamuna. He wanted to perform his pastimes in Yamuna. So he called Yamuna that, "I want to sport in you. Please come." Yamuna started thinking, "The Lord is drunk. He's in ecstasy. I'm not going to go close to him." Balaram got furious. He took his plow and he said, "If you don't come here, I'm going to break you into 100 streams. Better come here." So she went immediately and said, I'm sorry, my lord. You're the eternal lord. I'm your eternal servant. I forgot." So Balaram, although he was in Vrindavan, he was still carrying his virya ras. You know, the spirit of heroic power potency. Similarly, smashing Dvivida the gorilla. Dvivida the gorilla was also one of the demons who was interrupting and disturbing the gopis during the Rasa Leela. He was so shameless that, you know, he used to uproot trees in Vrindavan, throw the trees on the gopis, sometimes stand naked, sometimes howl, sometimes show his front teeth. They all went and complained to Balaram. Balaram, flick of his wrist and Dvivida was gone. The Acharyas explain, and Prabhupada quotes that in this episode, that Dvivida, he represented anger. We saw yesterday that Krishna, day before yesterday, Krishna defeated Dhenuka and Pralambha, who represented lust. Now Krishna or Balaram is destroying Dvivida, who represented anger. Now ahead we will find how he even destroys a demon who represented greed. So these three emotions of lust, greed and anger are very dangerous. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Trividam narakasyedam dvaram nashanam atmana. Kama krodha tatha lova tasmade tatrayam tyajet." So these three emotions or these three feelings are like three gates to hell. Any sane man who wants to go back home, back to God, it shouldn't take either one of them. Because if you take any one of these doors, it's going to land you into hell. Dwaram, dwaram means door. And it destroys the self, nashanam atmana. So therefore, never. So this was happening. And Balaram enjoyed his pastimes in Vrindavan. And then after bidding goodbye to everyone, he came back. Return of Balaram. Now when he came back, there are many things which are happening here. Krishna came and told Balaram, "There are many things I have to tell you." Krishna had a son called as Samba, who was the son of Krishna and Jambavati. He was such a personality, he was demoniac. And at the same time, he was very close to his mother. Please don't link both of them together, that being close to your mother is demoniac, but these are two different points. In Sanskrit, Amba means mother, and Sa means being with. So he was called a Samba because he was always close to his mother. Whatever his mother said was Veda Vakya for him, the words of the scriptures. But he was demoniac. He misbehaved. So when Duryodhan's daughter, Lakshmana, her Swayamvar ceremony, you know what a Swayamvar is, right? A girl can pick her own future husband. So the ceremony was going on and this Samba just entered, barged into this assembly and kidnapped Lakshmana. Now when this happened, Duryodhan was furious. And Duryodhan, Drona, Bhishma, they all said, "This Samba has to be kidnapped. He has to be taught a lesson. We'll not kill him because he's Krishna's son. That could be really dangerous. Let's not do that. But let's kidnap him and teach him a lesson." So they did that. Now Samba was with the Kurus. Balaram returns and Krishna tells him, "You know, my son is there, now what to do?" Balaram says, "Don't worry. If people don't come to me, I know how to drag them towards me." And he narrates the story of Yamuna. He says, "Yamuna didn't come to me, but I could drag her towards me. It's not a big thing for me." So what Balaram does is he goes to the Kurus and he, with folded hands, he requests, "Can you return Samba? Because Krishna told me all that happened and he misbehaved, I'm sorry, but can you return him?" The Kuru said, "No, we have to teach him a lesson. Nothing doing." In fact, they insulted Balaram. Balaram got so furious. He said, "What do y'all think? I can just drag Yamuna? I can even drag a city." He invokes his plow, puts it onto the ground and starts dragging the city of Hastinapur towards Ganga. He said, "I will drown the whole city. What do you guys think? You're challenging me just because I'm requesting you? This is a request. If you don't accept, it's an order. You pick, what do you want?" So it's very interesting that this Balaram, who's so powerful, who can smash anything into pieces, he falls at the feet of miscreants in the age of Kali. Jare dekhe tare kohe danta trinadhari. Holding a blade of grass within his teeth, clasped between his teeth, he's falling at the feet of everyone. Bolo Krishna, bajo Krishna, koro Krishna siksha. This Nityananda Prabhu can smash anyone. He can force us Paramatma, chant Hare Krishna. And the Jiva will chant. But he's not doing it. In fact, he's rolling in the dust. And he's telling the Jivas, "Please take this name of Gauranga. If you chant the name of Gauranga, I promise I will sell myself as a slave at your lotus feet forever." Bhaja Gauranga, kaha Gauranga, laha Gaurangira namare, jai jana Gauranga bhaje se hoy amara pranare. Please chant the name of Gauranga. If you chant the name of Gauranga, you become my life and soul. I'll become your slave. So this mood of Nityananda is inconceivable. We, Kali Yuga rejects, we are so impudent, we are so arrogant. Balaram can smash us into pieces and break atheism completely. But he wants the Jiva to use the free will and surrender. So here we find Balaram was almost dragging the city of Hastinapur. And the Kurus got scared and they returned somewhere. "No, you take. We are really sorry. We didn't realize who you are. Take. Really sorry." Parallelly, because Duryodhan has come into the picture, the battle of Kurukshetra is also going to come. So we have almost entered now Balaram's role in Mahabharata. Balaram was the teacher for Bhima and Duryodhan, both for the club or the maze fighting. He favored Duryodhan a little more because Duryodhan was more skilled. He was, he was more meticulous in his way of fighting. Bhima was, he was crude. He just knew how to smash things. But Duryodhan was, even more, perfect in his techniques. So Balaram liked him. And he was really angry when he got to know that Bhima actually smashed Duryodhan's thigh. Because that's against religious principles. You cannot smash anyone below the waist. So he said, "Now I'm going to kill Bhima for this. He cannot do this. He broke principles." But then Krishna came and whispered in his ear, "Don't worry, I was the one who told. It's okay. It's okay, don't worry." So Balaram said, "If you say, then it's okay." After all, we discussed Balaram is Guru Tattva. Guru cannot deviate from the will of Krishna. Guru has to be aligned to the will of Krishna, whatever it may be. We found in the episode of Bali Maharaj, how Shukracharya tries to stop Bali Maharaj from giving charity to Vamandev. And Bali Maharaj just rejects him. Because that guru who doesn't take us close to Krishna must be rejected. If guru has his own individual ulterior motives, which are not compatible with sadhu and shastra, dangerous. Very dangerous. Because guru is he who speaks the same that Krishna speaks. Sakshad haritvena samasta shaste yuktastata bhav yata eva sadvi. Kintu prabhorya priya eva tasya vande gurum shri charana ravindam. Guru is he who sakshad hari for the disciple. Guru doesn't think he is God, but the disciple considers him as God. Guru is he who smashes illusion. Gushabdastu andakara syat rushabdhatama nirodaka. Andakara niroditva guru iti abhidhiyate. He who smashes the darkness of ignorance, he is Guru. So Balaram here, he was thinking that this is not correct. But as soon as Krishna said, "I was the one who sanctioned," Balaram said, "Okay." There was another instance like that. Arjuna came as a sage, sadhu, sadhu mahatma. He came and he came to Balaramji. And Balaram didn't realize this is Arjuna. He thought this is sadhu, mahatma. So he sent Subhadra, "You go and serve." Now when Subhadra went to serve the sadhu, she liked, because the sadhu was charismatic. He was not a very, simple sadhu. He was magnanimous and, he had a charming personality because he was Arjuna, after all, a Kshatriya. So Subhadra liked, and she went with the sadhu, with Arjuna. So now when she disappeared, Balram thought that the sadhu actually kidnapped her. And he went chasing behind the sadhu. But then Krishna came again and he said, "Don't worry, this is actually Arjuna, and I was the one who made all this. So don't worry. You know, just be calm." So as soon as Balram got to know this, "Krishna, you planned all of this?" Then okay, no problem. So in this way, Balram, he represents Guru Tattva completely in line with Krishna's will. Amidst all of this, he couldn't see the fight between the Kurus. He couldn't even see the fight between the Yadus and the Kurus. You know, what to speak of fight between the Kurus, the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So therefore what he did was, he said, "I don't want to participate in this war. You all fight. I don't like fighting." Balram, who has this history or record of so many murders, you know, demoniac killing, he says, "I don't like all this. I don't like bloodshed. So therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going for a pilgrimage. I'm going for Tirth Yatra." So he starts going for different, you know, pastime places and pilgrimage places. And he enters this place where 88,000 sages are sitting together. And they're hearing Harikatha from the lips of Roma Harshana. Now all the sadhus get up. "Balaramji, Adi Guru, first expansion of Krishna. Not different from Krishna, he's come." So they were all going down and taking the dust of his lotus feet and Charanamrit. But Roma Harshana was sitting on the Vyasasan, unmoved. So Balaramji saw that. He saw not just Roma Harshana's posture, but within that posture, he saw pride. He saw Balram vanquished lust, greed, anger. Now he's finishing pride. So in this way, you can find how Balram is actually the true destroyer of all our anarthas. If we simply approach Balram, "Sarvam mangalam bhavatu," everything is auspicious. So Roma Harshana was sitting and Balram saw that he was really proud that he was sitting on that Vyasasa. So he simply took a blade of grass. How insignificant is that? We are taught, "Trinadapi sunichana," be as humble as a blade of grass. So he takes the symbol of humility to teach somebody humility. To break someone's pride, he takes the most humble thing in this world. He takes a blade of grass and simply touches the body of Roma Harshan. And Roma Harshan dies on the spot. So the sages are like, "Balaramji, what did you do? We just now blessed him that he should have a long life because he's serving Harikatha. And, you know, we are hearing Harikatha and he's speaking Harikatha and it's very pure." Harikatha has this quality of the Ganga. "Vasudeva katha prashna purusham trim punatihi vaktaram prachakam shrotram yatpadam salilam yatha." Just like the place from where Ganga originates, the place where Ganga flows, and the place where Ganga unites with the sea, all are pure. Similarly, the place where Harikatha originates through the lips of the speaker, the place where it flows through the audience, the place where it enters the heart of the listener, all the places are pure. So the sages said, "We are listening Harikatha, he's speaking and serving Harikatha. So we like him and we blessed him that he should live long and you just smashed him. We had our own plans and you had your own plans. What to do now?" So therefore you have to do some prayaschitta. So Balaramji said, "What prayaschitta should I do? Do you want me to revive him?" The sages said, No. "Whatever you decided, that's perfect. If we say that he should live long and you think that he should die now, then your estimate is perfect. If we think that he should die now and you think he should live long, then your estimate is perfect." Krishna is always the best judge. Sometimes people think that, why is Krishna doing this? You know, this person is performing bhakti. He should have lived long. He should have been happier. Why is this happening? But the answer is, if our mind could actually comprehend the plans of Krishna, isn't it greater to Krishna? We are insignificant speck of dust. So, 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair, that's our level. And we are trying to catch the Supreme Lord's potency. The thing is, we are seeing the present and we plan our future. Krishna sees our future and plans the present. It's like the jigsaw puzzle. Sometimes when we are forming the jigsaw puzzle, we might pick a piece from there, put it here, pick a piece from here, put it there. Krishna does all of that. And now when the pieces are together and one piece is picked, the other piece is lamenting. "Oh, why that piece was picked?" Like all of us do. But Krishna has his own plan, because at the end of the day, there's a very beautiful jigsaw picture that Krishna is planning for us. So then Balaramji said, do you want me to revive him? The sages said, no, no. Whatever you decide is perfect. But then you have to do two things as prayaschitta. One, keep somebody so that we can hear Harikatha. So Balaramji said, I will empower his son. Who is his son? Suta Goswami. Yes. In Sanskrit, the word Suta means son. So the Suta Goswami that we find here, it is Roma Harshana Suta, the son of Roma Harshana. So Suta Goswami starts speaking to Shaunakadi Rishi. And the second thing, the second part of the prayaschitta is that Balaram has to go around and see more pastime places and, you know, dip at different places. So Balaramji said, whatever you all think, that is perfect. The sages are surrendering to Balaram's will. Balaram is surrendering to the sages' will. This is prema. Bhakti means Krishna dances to your tune and you dance to Krishna's tune. But initially, we have to start dancing to Krishna's tune. Only when we start dancing to Krishna's tune and Krishna is convinced that we are good dancers to his tunes, then Krishna will start dancing. This is prema. Till then, people start thinking that, you know, why is Krishna not doing this for me? Why is he not dancing in front of me? Never happen. Initially, we start with Vaidhi Bhakti, where we have to follow rules and regulations properly. Then, when the heart is more substantially cleansed, there's natural attraction, we enter Raganuga Bhakti. Then we enter Bhava Bhakti. Then we enter Prema Bhakti. And at the level of Bhava and Prema, Krishna is bound in the heart. Completely in the heart. And such sadhus in whose heart Krishna is bound, only they are acharyas. Bhavatvida Bhagavata Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kuruvanti Tirthani Swantastena Gadaprita. Those who actually hold Krishna in their heart, they can turn a pastime or a pilgrimage place into a better pilgrimage place. Tirthi Kuruvanti Tirthani. So they told Balaramji, you have to travel. Then Balaramji traveled and he came back, you know. And then there were more developments. So in this way, the beautiful story of Balaram continues, finally to the point where the Yadus are completely destroyed because of a curse. They fight among themselves in the family. Madhyam Kula Vinashakam. And their whole family is destroyed. Krishna disappears from this world. And when Krishna disappears from this world, what will Guru do? So Sri Guru, the personification of Sri Guru, Balaramji, he also sits in meditation. And through the plenary portion of Ananta, he returns back to the spiritual world. So it's very interesting how all of this nectar is shared in these books of Srila Prabhupada. Mainly the Krishna book and the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the Krishna book. For all those who don't have the Krishna book, it's high time you get it, because the Bhagavatam and the Krishna book are like ripe mangoes. Nigama kalpa tarur galitam phalam shukha mukhadamrita drava samyutam. It is like a ripe mango on the tree of Vedic wisdom. And it is such a mango that doesn't have a seed inside and doesn't have a cover outside. Just has pulp. And you can bite it from anywhere. Any canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's sweet. Now, Shukadev Goswami spoke this to Parikshit Maharaj, as we find here. He spoke this nectarian discussion. And he's Shuka, or the parrot. It's very poetic how he's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says that the fruit which is on the tree can never be tasted by ants on the ground. Can the ants taste the fruit? Never. The fruit is so high for them. But it is possible if a parrot comes and puts its beak into the fruit and some drops of that fruit fall onto the ground and the ants taste. So this fruit of bhakti, pure bhakti or prema, inaccessible. We cannot get there. But here you have a parrot called Shukadev, who puts his beak into this fruit. And the drops are coming down in parampara. And we ants who are in this Kali Yuga are getting drops of that sweet fruit which are emanating from the lips of Shukadev. Another point that we find in nature is that when a parrot puts its beak into this such fruits, the taste of the fruits increase. So Srimad Bhagavatam is already sweet, but when it comes from the nectarian, it comes as nectarian narration or from the lotus lips of Shukadev Goswami, it's very, very beautiful. And what more can be said about the acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Sanatan Goswami, who are decorating the words of Shukadev Goswami through their commentary. But then still it was inaccessible. It was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who tried preaching in India. And it was spread from Bengal to the whole of India, but still inaccessible. Then it was the most merciful Srila Prabhupada, whose 50th arrival we are celebrating very soon, who took this nectar, carried it as an ambassador of the parampara, and came to this Western world, landed here in Boston. And all of this that we have discussed in the seminar and much more comes only by the pure mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He was the one who translated everything into English. How do we know all this? How can we discuss all this, speak all this, hear all this, and naturally like Krishna and meditate on Krishna? We are so very grateful to our parampara for the gift that they have given us. So on that note, I would really like to thank all of you all for being part of this seminar. I feel really very, very, I feel humbled and purified by being able to serve Harikatha, because when we speak or when we hear, the heart naturally gets pulled towards Krishna, and that's the aim of our life. We don't want anything else. So let us take this process very seriously, starting with the hearing of Sri Krishna's pastimes, chanting of Sri Krishna's pastimes, chanting japa of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you so much. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare.